One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruin. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right.
That's nice.
You know, I just sort of, you take the good, you take the bad, you take it all, there you have it. It's the facts
That's
of life.
Life.
No, but my doctor has increased my medication, so I feel
great.
Like I'm...
Always a good sign.
Yeah. But I'm feeling great about it, so we'll see. I was supposed to be a level off, but right now I'm like, you know what? Hey, we're all just here on this big spinning globe, and we're gonna do our best. Other than that, like I just have been working like crazy. I guess we haven't mentioned this on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We can is that so we're no longer with Crooked Media.
Yes.
We wish them well. We are have moved on.
Yes.
Enjoyed our time there. Enjoyed all the new listeners. Thank you so much for joining us.
If you came from Crooked, we deeply appreciate you. Thank you for being here and stick around.
Yeah. And I still work at Crooked and write for the show Love It or Leave It and write for Pod Save America. And so it's just been nonstop. And but we've had it's, you know, we're like a month out, so it's this weird zone of like just reading polls where I'm like, I don't really know if we could even take anything from this at this point. You know what I mean?
God, by the time this comes out, we're like days away.
Yeah.
If not, would this be, this would be election day if you're listening to it the day
Damn.
It comes out.
Okay, well, get out there.
I hope it's going well.
Thank you for voting. If you haven't voted already, if you're in Michigan, shout out to Michigan because they, I love states that do the like, I voted sticker contest.
Mm-hmm, me too. And why don't we all do that?
I don't know. We should do it. Yeah, it's super cute. And this year, the one that won was a 12-year-old girl who made it a jacked werewolf ripping off its tank top. And they interviewed her, and she's like, I didn't mean it to be scary. I meant it to be about being strong, and being strong when you cast your vote. And I'm like sobbing. It's so cute. So shout out to Michigan. Go get one of those stickers. And and also, I guess also to promote Vote Save America. So Vote Save America has a very handy tool in case you're like, I know I'm going to vote for president, but like, God, there's a bunch of other stuff on here. For me in California, I feel like I never feel equipped when I get there to vote. Because I have not, now of course I like do it ahead of time, but when I would go in person, I was like, fuck, I didn't read about the judges because you have to vote for judges.
And
I was like, damn.
Yeah. And like sometimes there's like a referendum or a thing where it's like, it's all just worded so intentionally complicated where I'm like, I know how I probably feel about this topic, but I can't read this sentence. Like just someone tell me if I'm supposed to vote yes or no for this.
Yeah. And so basically if you go to Vote Save America, if you go to the homepage, there'll be links for it. But they have a feature called Build a Ballot where you can look up where you live. And then essentially you could look up anybody on your ballot. There's a lot of great features. But like, for example, you're like, oh, great. You know, whatever. Some random down ballot race that I don't know much about. You'll be able to look at the actual candidates. And it sort of breaks out like sort of their highlights, and especially Republicans, you know, we want to highlight, you know, the horrific things they believe and want us to believe in too. So just check that out in case you're sort of in that place and trying to figure out more about the down ballot races. VoteSaveAmerica.com is a great resource.
Yes.
If you are
listening to this in the morning of Election Day, you can check that out. Or if you're listening on Patreon, you're getting it a week before, you have time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, look, we know you're probably like us. Yeah. I mean, I get plenty of people running there during lunch the day of. I don't think we're all super prepared.
Yep.
Other than that, I don't have anything else going on. Allison, how are you doing?
Yeah, not a ton. Just a lot of hanging with Riz. I've been in writing mode, so that's been my whole world. I gotta say, I have a workspace that I go to. It's like a shared co-working space where, like, it's just like a bunch of tables in a quiet area, and then some people reserve like desks and there's like phone rooms and stuff, and it's great. And it's kind of no frills, and I don't need it to be like there's cold brew on. It's like they have coffee, mm-hmm. they have water, they have tea, they have a whole thing of Hershey Kisses, which to my delight. They also, the other snack they provide is microwave popcorn, and I think that's allowed food for this. Like,
it really is. As someone who loves popcorn, that is a very silly food to hear people munching on all day.
And it, like, somebody made some the other day, and, like, I just could hear him. I had to put my headphones on with nothing in them, like, my, like, noise-canceling headphones. I just, like, threw them on because I was like, until he's done chewing, like, I'm not going to be able to get anything done. But the other terroristic thing that this company does is there's a little sign on all the, like, popcorn bags, and it's like, this isn't just a snack. It's a way to build community. So when you make a bag of popcorn, go around and offer everyone some. And I'm like, one person has done it since I've been there. Mostly if people make popcorn, they just eat their popcorn and are like, I'm not doing that. But it is this like psychotic. I'm like, no, don't talk to me. Like, this is the kind of place where if you sneeze, no one says God bless you. Like, it's like there is no talking. Like,
yeah, you just slap it out of someone's hand. It is funny because it does remind me of the WeWorks guy, thing. Because it is like all this shit's like just people in a boardroom who haven't talked to a human being in 8 days.
Yes.
We're like, well, they will give them popcorn and they will make $1 million. Yes. And it's like, think about reality for 2 fucking seconds. I remember that WeWork guy and his insane wife were like, we're going to reinvent schools. We're going to.
Yeah,
it's like,
shut up. What if you lived where you worked? No, I don't want to do that.
What if you had a silent working space where everyone's constantly eating a loud food? Sure, bitch.
Sure, man.
There should be soft. It should be gummies. There should be soft foods
soft
for you
foods.
To eat.
Yeah. Fruit. They had us do like a questionnaire of like what they could do better. And I was like, the location I'm at, like the window, it's all windows on the front, and which is nice because it's so bright. But at certain times of the day, the cars that are parked reflect direct light into your eyes, depending on where you're sitting. And there's no shade. And I was like, could you guys get a shade that we could pull down for part of the day or for one side of the windows? Because like it is like to the point where I usually have to get up and walk away for a few minutes because my eyes hurt so much. But they won't do that. But they're
funny.
Like, here, munch and scream at everybody when you're giving your popcorn.
That's very funny.
Anyway, I've just been writing, so.
Well, good. That's great, though. Hey, guys. Hallie here. We're here to tell you about our next live show, which will be Sunday, November 24th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And we are doing a movie I absolutely loved. I just saw it, Smile 2.
Yes. We are a return to form, just a classic live show online from home. All of the bells and whistles that you can expect, like the chat and a drinking game and old merch. You know, we got merch classic in there. But I'm so excited for this one. It's a perfect post-Thanksgiving recovery for you if you need to see something less scary than your family. Sunday, November 24th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
So don't forget to smile, too. And until then,
keep it spooky and we'll see you there.
Well, let's get into it. We are doing a brand new month. We're doing Cozy Month.
Cozy.
And that's the broadest way we could possibly interpret it. Because, of course, it's November, and we wanted to bring you something fall, something of autumnal.
Yes.
So before each episode, we're going to each share something about the fall or about autumn that we really enjoy. Allison, would you like to go first?
I think I like when we have the weather that I can wear a sweater and jeans, but I don't need a jacket yet, but I'm also not too warm in my sweater. That's like my dream scenario is that weather, which I guess is San Francisco.
San Francisco's really wet and humid.
Yes.
Because I feel like,
yes.
I mean, I guess New York is
there.
Too, but.
Yeah. No, but it's
like not that
humid.
Proper fall.
Yeah. It's not quite like the like crispness. But I really like that because like I love jackets and coats and we have lots of time to wear them in New York. But like there's something about like walking out the door in like a t-shirt and a sweater and a pair of jeans and being ready to kind of like whatever you need to do and not needing to carry a jacket around if you get too warm or being cold. And it's just, you know, that and I think that's fall weather and spring. But anyway,
that's a good one.
What's a fall thing you like?
I've never really been a fan, but I feel like this is the first year where I've really been into a pumpkin spice.
Oh yeah.
Just like everything, you know, when they roll it out, I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to not try it. One of my coffee shops near me has, of course, brought in their pumpkin spice latte and they make their own pumpkin spice like syrup. It's so good.
It is good. Like, and
it's
and
delicious.
You know, when people like shit on things that are quote unquote basic, which usually means that they're quote unquote feminine.
Right.
They're popular because they're good. Like pumpkin spice is it's a whole trend because it is good. Like that's why.
It's sort of like how people being like, oh, something's vanilla. It's like vanilla is the base of so many like layered delicious flavors and also in it of itself an excellent flavor.
Yes.
So many things
complex
that are vanilla are
right.
Yes, they are delicious because they are vanilla.
Yes.
So I would say that is what I'm enjoying. And apparently the pumpkin, they have pumpkin JoJo's at Trader Joe's that TikTok is convincing me somehow are good. Even those don't look that good to me because they look like they're made out of wax.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people are just raving about it and I am a sucker. So.
Yeah. But I love like making pumpkin bread. It's delicious.
Oh, I love pumpkin bread.
I love pumpkin bread.
Pumpkin bread or banana bread? Which one are you going to?
Pumpkin bread. I think I find the warm spice profile of pumpkin bread versus like banana bread, I feel like it's more like I would more comfortably eat pumpkin bread for breakfast than banana bread feels almost more, I don't know, I like them both, okay? This is, I made banana bread quite a bit during those lockdown days because, I don't know, it was something to do.
Yeah, people love bananas.
But I think pumpkin bread is my preference. What about you?
I'm going to go banana bread, but I do like both of them. There is a place over on Hollywood Boulevard called Friends and Neighbors, and they have a banana bread that's buckwheat. So it's the sweetness of a banana and then like a very earthy, nutty flavor.
Yes.
Ooh, it's good. It's like, because I agree, like a regular banana bread, it's kind of a little one note. It's just the banana.
It's a little sweet. Yeah.
This almost is like a caramelly baked,
like, give it a
nutty
peanut
flavor.
Butter swirl.
Now we're talking.
All right, I'll get Natasha on it.
And speaking of people who are going to wish they had either pumpkin bread or banana bread during their horrific travails.
I can't believe we have to do this movie.
We're doing a movie that I'm so excited that I have the opportunity to bring to us, which is 2022's Fall. Now, of course, I picked it because it's called Fall.
Right.
There's nothing about the season whatsoever. It is a straight-up survival horror. And it is co-written by Scott Mann and Jonathan Frank. They did a dynamite job, if you ask me. And it's basically two women, but it has a lot of similarities to 47 Meters Down. I will say that right up top.
Is it the same, producers?
Is it the same producers?
In the trailer, it was like from the, and I forget what they said, of 47 Meters Down.
Okay.
So it might maybe director, maybe, I don't know if they're writers or if it's just like producers or production company.
But we'll take it.
Yeah.
And I would say this makes sense. They probably had a success with 47 Meter Down. They said so people like two women trapped in the bottom of the ocean. People are going to love two women trapped 2,000 feet in the air, Allison. And I'll go ahead and shout out, there's Jeffrey Dean Morgan has a fun cameo in this. A good cameo in this. And then for those of it is two women, it's Grace Caroline Curry and Virginia Gardner, neither of whom I knew. I thought they did a great job in this. Oh, no. Okay. Virginia Gardner's in David Gordon Green, one of the more recent of the Halloween trilogy.
Oh, okay.
So I've seen her in that.
Okay, cool.
And the other than that, I think like she's Marvel and then Grace Caroline Curry is Shazam. But Grace Caroline Curry's in Annabelle Creation, which I don't think we've done for the podcast.
I don't think so.
But I have seen. So I have seen them, and they were both, I thought, excellent in this. Again, if it's just you acting scared for an hour and a half, that is hard to pull off. So
yeah,
I thought they did a dynamite job. And of course, we always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what are your thoughts about the Fall trailer?
This trailer, like, genuinely, like, physically affected me. And yeah. I've seen, like, TikTok, like, served me a clip of this movie once for some reason. And I've seen, and I remember when this came out and it was getting kind of, like, I was seeing a little bit from it. It is so, like, Heights, I think, are my big number one, like, of all of the things I'm afraid of. It is mm-hmm. the worst. It is, like, I don't like being, I live on the third floor of a building. That's pretty much as high as I will like to go out on a balcony. Like, I don't want to be, like, I just, heights are so fucking tough for me. And this, like, they, it's just like, well, they're up high and they're stuck.
Yeah, I will agree. And this is, I think, speaks to my personal horror philosophy, which is like, yes, I want a good story. I want to care about the characters. I would like to be viscerally scared. And I thought this movie was viscerally scary because I am terrified of heights.
Yeah.
And so we are constantly staring down from an insane height. We are watching people precariously stagger on a platform. At one point, they say it's the size of a pizza. It's horrifying. It's bigger than a pizza, but it's a teeny tiny platform in the sky.
Yeah.
And I agree. I thought this was already the premise terrifying, and I had to both stop the movie multiple times.
Oh my God. Wow.
And then have to, and this is to me always a sign of that I know it's a good horror movie. I have to remind myself these people are not in danger.
Yes.
They are on a film set. They are clearly being secured, and they have.
I would like to know, you know, a thing we can, like, look up later is just, like, how they got some of this stuff.
Well, I'm happy to tell you because I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Great.
So, basically, one of the directors was shooting this other movie, a British action thriller by the name of Final Score, starring Dave Bautista. And they were both talking, the directors were talking about being afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, obviously, we should try to do a thriller based entirely on that premise.
Yeah.
It was shot in the Shadow Mountains of California's Mojave Desert. Basically they climb a decommissioned television tower, but it is based on a real tower. It's a KXTV KOVR tower in Walnut Grove, California, which is 2,049 feet tall and one of the tallest structures in the world, Allison.
That doesn't need to exist.
Well, we have to get television, so it does.
Okay.
But don't climb
That's
it if
true.
You don't. If you get
right, yeah, I guess
it.
No one should be up there.
Yeah. And so, according to director Scott Mann, the filmmakers considered using green screen or digital sets, but opted for the real thing, Allison. However, what that really means is that they built the upper portion of the tower on top of a mountain, so obviously they could give the illusion that the actors were thousands of feet in the air. But in reality, they were never more than 100 feet, which to me, that's still very tall.
Still very high up.
And this makes sense if Curry is Shazam and Gardner is Marvel, that they're both action actresses.
Yeah.
Is that they were offered stunt doubles, but opted to perform their own stunts. They were great. They were very convincing, very scary. And filming was difficult, apparently, because weather such as lightning and strong winds posed a challenge. But it ended up being a box office success. It cost $3 million, which I thought was great to shoot, and it made $21 at the box office. So a terrific film. Loved this. And Allison, I guess, how just take a baseline scary. How scary do you find the concept of being trapped 2,000 feet in the air?
No. I think, like, I would have to, like, I would dissociate and have to end up, like, swan diving off of it and killing myself because, like, it is so utterly terrifying. When my parents took me to the Grand Canyon when I was in, like, maybe, like, fourth or fifth grade, I, like, cried the whole time. And I was so far from the edge. Like, I can't do heights. I can't even articulate how much I hate them.
It's funny. There's like a TikTok video of this woman that people were replying to who was like, you know, if you like horror movies, there's something wrong with you. It's like, well, first of all, there's something wrong with everybody.
Yep.
It's good that we have
there's
art.
There's lots wrong
that we
with everyone.
Work it out. And then second of all, that's how I feel about people who go on roller coasters. And like,
I
can't stand the physical feeling of that because it's not pleasant. It just feels like I'm dying. So to me, this is a version of it where it's like, just watching this, I felt like I was going to throw up. So I can't imagine being someone who seeks extreme sports.
My stomach was upside down watching this trailer.
And of course, we're back at it, much like with 47 Meters Down and The Descent. This also is like similar to The Descent in a lot of ways. And it's entering in a world that neither you nor I are a part of, which of course is the world of extreme sports, which we will never, ever set foot in. And would you like to guess the twist in fall.
Guess the twist.
Would you say that there, like, is a twist in this one?
Yes, there's a proper twist in this.
A proper twist? I'm going to guess that the girl who, like, plans the climb knew that the tower was unstable and, like, that they weren't supposed to be climbing it.
That's
and
depraved.
Then that, I like then it. Then they get in a fight about that because she's like, you knew, and, like, you, and, like, she was like, I just wanted to take you out of your comfort zone, but, like, and it becomes, like, a fight between them.
Gorgeous. Oh, I think that's absolutely gorgeous. Wonderful idea.
Stunning.
Absolutely stunning.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
All right, great. Let us get into it. Ruining 2022's fall. Allison, we open on a very attractive heterosexual couple, Becky and Dan Connor, climbing a sheer rock face. They are, of course, climbers. And this is like, I don't know what the levels of climbing is. This is black diamond. Okay, do you see?
Yeah, where it's
terms.
Just like a vertical face.
It is a sheer and vertical cliff.
Yeah, no.
I had to Google sort of certain elements of hiking, of climbing, because I was like, I don't understand how this is even possible. But yes, they are clinging, they are shimmying, they are connected, they're tethered together by a rope. And then there are, I guess, a lot of these places where people climb a lot, they already have like iron bolts that you can latch onto, but also you can bring your own and you sort of drive it into the rock face and use it to leverage your way up. But other than that, they're fucking clinging to the rock face.
God,
that's insane.
That sucks.
That's fucking insane. They've been at it forever. This is like their thing that they do.
Yeah.
Dan slips, but he recovers. Becky is the one who she's starting to lose her grip a little bit. She regains it. He says, "Are you good?" And she says, "No." And again, they're 100 feet in the air if they're afoot.
Yeah.
Becky starts to freak out a little bit. Dan's calming her down. And I just want to flag before I say this that apparently there's in Yosemite, it looks like there's a climb called Snake Dyke with an I instead of a Y. But he says, remember AJ Hackett, Snake Dyke? And I was like, that's a reality show that I need to be made immediately. AJ Hackett,
what a
Snake
phrase.
Dyke.
And what a phrase.
I think it would be, it's a scripted reality show where it's AJ Hackett is a dyke who is a snake wrangler, but is really bad at it. So every episode ends with AJ Hackett getting bit by like 1,000 snakes and then just keeping coming back for more.
Yeah. Always ends at the hospital.
100%. And then maybe she falls in love with a nurse.
Okay.
Allison, Dan reaches out for her, and Becky steals herself and then leaps like 5 feet in oblivion.
No.
You know what I mean? Like just five feet flying through the void. He grabs her and they kiss and he says, "That's my girl." So you do know someone's about to die.
Yeah.
Above them, we hear another voice that is Hunter, Becky's best friend, who calls down and says, "Gross, get a room, you two." And Becky says, "Be careful. There's like loose rock around the elbow," which is basically what my doctor's diagnosis of what my elbow looks like.
Yeah, loose rocks.
But, you know,
most of inside of me is loose rocks at this point.
Yeah, my teeth are rocks. My skin is rocks. Yeah. Hunter sort of is like scrambling up past them, sort of showing off. But again, they're having a hoot and a holler. They're loving it. And even this was hard to watch, you know. We get like a full shutdown at this point. Allison, I'm saying at least 200 feet. So again, you're dying, right? There's no chance.
Yeah.
Your skull is
you
shattering.
Explode
yes, you
on
explode.
Impact. Into, like, just a burst of blood.
And we have this great shot, a POV shot from inside of a little crevasse. And we can see there's a little eagle's nest. And we see Dan's hand come up. And then he looks into it and he goes to sort of like drive the sort of metal spike to latch onto. He doesn't know there's an eagle inside. The eagle flies out. So the first bird in this movie, there's quite a number. There's actually several bird appearances.
I'd imagine, this is kind of their territory.
Oh, yeah. That bird looks horrified. This guy just showed up at its house.
I mean, yeah, that's probably never happened.
So, unfortunately, Dan falls off the cliff face. Now, the thing is that he is tethered to Becky, right?
Yes.
And they are both sort of like, I'm so bad at physics. They're tethered together, and then in the middle of the tether, the tether goes through one of the metal hooks. So essentially, they're cantilevering each other almost. Her weight holds his weight, right? So I guess if you had someone who's really little and someone really big, maybe this would be harder to do. But she's able to hold him sort of dangling in the air with her body weight against the wall. But unfortunately, he keeps sort of swinging free and he can't grab back onto the rock. Right. So he says to her, if you're secure, you can unclip. So then she'll be unclipped, unsecure, clinging to the rock wall. Awesome. But then the rope will sort of flip, slide out and hit the metal part. So it'll extend basically. So she'll be loose, but he'll get a little more length of rope and he'll be able to swing back to the rock wall. And I don't know what other options are, but when he said that it's she has to be loose just on the wall. That's terrifying.
No.
But obviously it's her husband and she's like, yeah, I'm secure. She unhooks the rope, sort of whips around. And unfortunately, when the line snaps to the end, the anchoring bolt rips out of the rock face because of the crumbling rock, which again, I'm like, how do you know? I guess that's such a constant fear or concern where I'm like, how they couldn't have known that was going to happen. I guess it's just something that you have to assume when you're climbing is that this kind of shit will happen. Unfortunately, it rips out of the rock wall and Dan falls screaming to his terrible death. Mm-mm. Text on the screen 51 weeks later. There's a lot of really, I feel like they do a lot of business very artfully up top here. We see two withered house plants. So again, we know that she's depressed.
Got it.
We hear that her phone, she's like an old, a landline, which I thought was cute. And of course, her voicemail clicks over. We hear Jeffrey Dean Morgan, her father, say, I've tried to, he says to her in a way that I understand. He's been at it for a year. But he's like, look, I've tried to console you all the ways I know how. But I can't help you if you won't pick up the phone. Whenever you're done hating me, I'm here. And we see a box has arrived. It is the cremated remains of Dan. So I think she's not been doing well. And then I think maybe getting the remains back has triggered sort of a further breakdown. Yes. Understandably.
Yes. Understandably.
Also, this woman's 27. You know what I mean? Not to be less sad if you're older, but it is I'm sure they just got married. Was like, okay, great. We're starting our life together. Falls off the cliff. And then, of course, we see Becky screening his call, sitting in the dark, getting drunk. We then see her at a bar, and she keeps calling her husband's voicemail just to hear his voice. And she tells his voice message, I miss you. When she staggers out of the bar later, she sees her dad, because obviously he knows what bar she goes to at this point. And he's like, oh, you're stalking me? And he's like, I just want to make sure you're not driving. I want to make sure you're okay. Obviously, I'm worried about you. Clearly, things have taken a turn. And she said, you told me not to be so broken up about Dan because he's an asshole. And he's like, I didn't say that. I said, let's not, in this moment, turn him into a martyr that we sort of get fixated on. I don't think that... Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if that's really good. She's not in a place to hear that.
That's
a year from now.
That's not...
No.
Let's get her, up and moving around again. Then you can start talking about, he wasn't perfect. But, right now,
that doesn't matter.
He was.
Exactly. But, he's perfect regardless, but even if he isn't, that's not what the issue is. The issue is she's spiraling, right? She tries to get in her car, and he has to physically grab her keys, and she's like, fuck you. And he's like, your mother and I raised you better than this, and you're pushing away the people that loved you. There's a whole world out there that needs you. I need you. And he says, let me at least drive you home. And she says, I'll walk. And she starts to, drunkenly storm away. And then her father said again, which is not helpful, if the roles were reversed, do you think Dan is standing out here alone? He's not, and you know it. And again, it's like, this is just not the conversation she needs right now. You were doing better with, let me drive you home. That was a good start, you know?
Yeah, that's just, you don't need to, this isn't the direction.
Yeah, and he says, damn it, Becky, I need you to try. And she says, I need you to leave me alone. She goes home. She calls Dan's voicemail again. Unfortunately, we see her get out a bottle of pills. And we see her take one and then start to scoop up a big handful of it. Obviously, she's going to try to OD. Fortunately, her cell phone rings. It's Hunter. Hunter's outside. She opens the door and Hunter's there with her backpack. And Hunter's like, wow, you look like absolute shit. Turns out Hunter has returned from her travels. And basically over the last year, they kind of haven't seen each other since Dan's death. I like sort of drove a wedge between them just because I think, as we'll find out, you know, how do you handle such a thing? And yes. Hunter says, you know, your dad called me a few weeks ago. He doesn't want you to be alone. And the only thing worse than seeing Dan's boxed ashes in on that side table is knowing that you're stuck in here with him. So I have a plan. Yeah. Allison, it is, for me, one of the worst plans I ever heard because her plan is she and Becky are going to climb the B-67. I keep wanting to see B-52s. They're going to climb the B-67 TV tower. She says, it's only a 6-hour drive. I'm going to stop you right fucking there.
That alone is outside of my pay grade.
Absolutely not. I can do up to 4, and after that, I got to sit down. We got to make a whole plan. 6 hours?
Yes.
She says, it'll be like old times, and you can scatter Dan's ashes from the top. Which I like. I'm going to say this right now. If I die doing something, don't commemorate me by doing that thing.
No. Don't.
Go have a nice lunch.
Don't.
Go take a nap. Yet. Go be safe. Becky says, I haven't climbed since that day. Again, then don't do it. You haven't climbed in a year and you're going to go do this? Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it, bitch.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hunter says, what did Dan always say? Don't die. Don't die if you want to live. And Becky says, I can't do this. She's sobbing. Yeah. But in the morning, she gets up. Becky sees Hunter has moved her pill bottle back into the medicine cabinet. And she says, I don't know. Becky says, it's actually the phrase he would say is, if you're scared of dying, don't be afraid to live. That's how it actually was. So let's do it. Let's climb her stupid tower. Allison, they're going to drive the tower. They're going to climb the tower.
They're going to go to the tower.
Becky looks through old photos and videos of her husband as Hunter drives them out into the desert. So they're in the middle of fucking desert land in California, right? And she's sort of looking, she finds a video of herself pole dancing, like she had Hunter out sometime. And she's like, wow, used to be really ripped. Hunter's like, I know you're an incredible climber. You know, look at all this cool stuff we used to do. Yeah.
Are not currently.
She also sees a photo of Hunter beaming. And the next photo, we see a man's arm wrapped around her. And she's like, ooh, who is this guy? Hunter's like, oh, just some guy. It was like, oh, that's an oldie. Becky says, wow, you look so happy. Must know how to tickle your whistle. That's not a phrase. And also, interestingly, a man that we don't want to identify. Whose arm could it be?
Wonder who that is.
Yes. And if you've seen The Descent, you sort of know where we're headed with this. Love a secret that gets revealed. After nightfall, we see them at a diner, which is connected to their motel. And we find out that Hunter over the last year has become like a YouTube mini celebrity. Where she makes like climbing content.
Sure.
And she's called Dangerous D. And sort of her thing is like extreme climbing, solo climbing. And she does sort of like an over the top, which we kind of like, it seems a little dated now, but I think in my mind it's like 2016, like YouTubers are like, whoa, you won't believe it. Like I think like Mr. Beast is still doing that, but most other YouTubers, it's kind of not quite so charactery now.
Yes, totally.
It's more just like people talking, which I think that's probably the influence of TikTok, right?
Right.
Hunter's like, look, I have to do dangerous shit just to keep my blood pumping, so I might as well monetize it. What a life. What a way to live in the world.
Wild.
And Becky says, I'm just saying, if you have to do YouTube, just be yourself. Like, you're natural-born clickbait. Becky asks the waitress if she could charge her phone, and the waitress says, Powerade free, ma'am, which I thought was fun.
Yeah.
Hunter asks the waitress, do you know where the TV tower is? And the waitress points out the window. We see a blinking red light in the distance. It's incredibly high. And Becky says, well, why is there a light? I thought you said it was decommissioned. And Hunter says, oh, yeah, well, it's still there, though. So the light is so that aircraft can see it. Aircraft.
No.
And this is where I become Dr. Phil.
No.
Because I'm like, you girls in your death drive, climbing up to heaven, trying to fight God. Like, don't do it. Right? You don't.
And also, like, if you're going to do it, let's get someone that's just on the ground waiting for you to be done.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, much
someone that knows you're there. If they have be like, if we haven't reached out to you at a certain time, why don't you come check out what's happening and see if we're still alive, or send a helicopter or something. Like, it's the fact that it's the middle of the desert. There's no one else around. Like,
it's a horrible idea. You know, much like
it's so bad.
Much like you don't get in a submersible and go down to the Titanic.
Yes,
you don't climb this TV tower, right? And at least
what do you go ahead. Would you sooner be in 47 meters down or in fall? Like, which of these activities?
I guess I really would be in 47 meters down because they didn't mean to go down there. They meant to get right. in the cage. And I wouldn't do that, but that's closer. Like, I would go scuba diving. I could see that.
Right.
Or looking at snorkeling, look at fish. I am never, ever, ever going to climb something tall for any reason other than escaping a bear or something of that nature.
And they climb, so that's
so
not
I'm
work.
Fucked anyways. Fortunately, even though the waitress didn't let her charge her phone, Hunter shows Becky a cool hack that is going to come up later. She unscrews the light bulb and the little lamp on their table and holds the charger prong into the socket element and the phone charges. Don't try that at home is what I have to say about that.
No, I wouldn't mess around with that.
We wake in Becky's dream and she is, of course, lying in Dan's arm and she says, I love you. And he doesn't say it back. And she says, well, could you say it? And he says, I am saying it. And we see him tap out on her hip. He's 1, 4, 3. His little code, I love you. She looks down at his arm. And, of course, because it's a dream, now his arm is gushing blood out of the sheets. And she gasps awake. He is, in fact, sitting in a little box next to the, on the side table. It is time to climb. It's dawn. And Hunter is climbing. She has a push-up bra on. And Becky's naturally. Like, what are we doing? She's like, it is tits for clicks, baby. I make money off of YouTube. I know what I look like. I know what people are here from. I am not going to leave money on the table not having my titties
out.
She's
not wrong.
Exactly. I was like, well, I have to respect a businesswoman. Becky says, I don't want to be in your live stream, but Hunter reassures her. I actually shoot now and post later, so I'm not going to stream anything. And so she starts to record as her character, you know, Dangerous D, and then immediately puts Becky on camera, and Becky's like, okay, that's fine. Hunter almost pulls out in front of a semi, and it screams past, which is already a bad omen.
Yeah.
But regardless, they're ready to go. They're headed out, and it's a couple miles from the motel. So they arrive. There's a padlocked gate.
It's like everything is saying, don't do this.
The gate has a sign that says, no trespassing under danger of death. You had me at no frantically.
Yep, had me at no.
And again, they're in the desert and it's early in the day, but it is still incredibly hot. So they have brought water. And again, it's like, to what end? To be miserably hot in the sky.
Right, there's no shade.
No. Hunter, they also don't bring hats, and that was a huge mistake.
That's a huge mistake. Do they have like it'll take us X amount of time to get up?
Hunter said it will be home by lunch. So I think, hypothetically, they think this is like to me, this seemed like a 4 hour,
yeah,
2 hours
couple
to
hours
get
up. Hour town.
And then that's it. Because 200 feet, which is, I'm sure takes a long time, but it's not going to take forever. You know what I mean?
2,000,
sorry. It's 2,000 feet. So it is, again, it's a great length up, but it's not actually that. It's not like you have to run a mile or something. You know what I mean? Right. Like the distance is staggering because humans are not supposed to go up that high versus compared
Correct.
To other structures. Of course, they move, go past the gate. They just park on the other side of it and walk. They stumble onto two vultures eating a still living deer. So we got two birds and a cervid. It is still very much alive.
Wow. Ruined bingo.
Hunter takes a photo of it, includes it in her video. You know, she says, look, it's survival of the fittest out here. You would do the same if you had to, if you were a vulture. And she posts a photo to her Instagram. Apparently, she has 60,000 followers. She's very excited about it. With the caption, feeling peckish. Of course, what we have learned is there are vultures. And vultures live where, Allison? In the sky.
Near dead stuff.
Well, that too. They get to the base of the tower. And Becky is starting to get a little shaky. But Hunter's recording. She's like, this is going to be so easy. You've done harder climbs. I don't think that's true. But she's hyping her up. Becky.
Right. What's harder than this?
And also, she hasn't climbed in a year. Becky stops her and says, right. I'm sorry. I don't think I could do it. And she says, look, I'm shaking. We haven't even started. Hunter tells her, after Dan died, I was afraid of my own shadow. You know, because I was there. I saw it. I took control. And I'm telling you, don't let this fear control you or else it's going to ruin your life. I think it helps Becky because Becky's willing to do it. She says, you know, this is the kind of stuff you should post to Instagram. Like, it should be genuine. You know, you don't have to do this weird character because that was really effective. Mm. So they tether themselves together, they put on their harnesses, and they look up, and it's terrifying. But basically, there's an interior ladder that goes almost all the way to the top. So they are climbing mostly inside of the three-sided triangle of the tower, which would make me feel a lot better, right?
Yes. Though, like, why?
Well, because if you're out, at least if you fall, you could sort of fall against a wall that you can maybe grab
something. Exactly. And it might also, like, stuff from the outside, like, maybe less wind, maybe, you know.
Yeah, and if you're outside, you're just loose. You're loose. Hunter reassures her, we have 50 feet of rope between us. We are clipped in. We are good. And we see a ladder. It looks like it goes up to heaven. And they start climbing. Becky is starting to panic the further we go. But again, she's sort of committed. And part of me is like, is this just peer pressure? Are you actually enjoying this?
Right.
The whole thing is the color of rust. We hear the ladder shaking with her trembling. We see that it's essentially the tower is tethered to the ground with its own massive metal cables. We hear them straining and groaning, which is probably like it's decommissioned. This might not have held body weight a long time, right? Like, who even knows how safe it is just standing? That's terrifying. So they get up what I would say about 500 feet up, and one of the ladder rings just snaps off in Becky's hand. Allison.
Like that, I would be like,
yeah. Yeah. We got to go back. Snap off. Because then you go, okay, if this is snapping off, what other parts of this are going to be snapping off?
Obviously, right. I got to imagine it gets worse as it goes up.
Yeah. You're exposed to the elements, the rain, the wind. It's essentially an antenna. There's no, it's not designed for people to be climbing it like this. Who even knows if
more than one person. It's not a jungle gym.
Yeah. But again, Hunter urges her on. And we do get these incredible shots. It's beautifully shot. It's terrifying. Yeah. We see them. They look like ants climbing up and like the big, beautiful skyline. Gorgeous, you know, skies. We see one of the many, many screws in the structure. One of them starts to get loose and sort of starts sliding out of its thread. Of course. But we're going to see about a dozen or more of those. Like, every 50 feet, I feel like something's getting shaken loose, right? So, because I think we're to think the whole structure is unsound. Becky calls up to Hunter, I need to rest. Can we take a water break? Hunter says, look, we can see the town. And if you look, we're about halfway up, 1,000 feet, which means we've climbed the height of the Eiffel Tower. And Becky says, don't say that shit to me right now.
None of that is, like, helpful.
She says, let's get this over with. But then I'm like, why? If you're not enjoying this, why are you doing this? Like, I understand, like, wanting to push past. But you have to have some pleasure in this activity or else, why? Just stay home.
What's the,
Again, Hunter begins to climb again, and we see a bird's nest sort of in one of the nooks. We also see another joint with a crumbling screw as they go past. We get to the top of the internal ladder. And the next 200 feet is on an external ladder. So it's essentially becomes there's a metal
like
platform.
Like a fire escape ladder. Yeah,
exactly. So it's a, even less, it's just like a straight up metal ladder, like would be on the side.
Or like
of
the
anything.
One that drops down from the last level.
Yes. Yeah. So there's nothing around you. It is straight up 200 feet.
Ugh.
And so they step out onto a metal platform. That's already terrifying. And there's 200 feet up to a smaller platform. And then there's like, you know, 30 feet of antenna above it, right? But they're getting to the top platform. And this is where I started to have to be like, this is not real. These women both survived the filming of this. This is fine. No one actually is going
there's
to plummet.
There's a bunch of people around.
Oh, and, safety. Yeah. I mean, everything's been green screened out, but I'm sure there's nets, all sorts of stuff they did to protect these people. Hunter starts climbing, and she leans back and says, I'm not going to lie, it's getting a little bit crazy once we're outside here. Which, again, if you're a professional climber and you're telling someone it's going to get a little crazy, I'm not doing it.
Someone who hasn't climbed anything in a year.
And again, is grieving the demise of their husband, who maybe had secrets. That's not a place to be climbing from. We see also Hunter's climbing in Converse. And I want to know if you're a climber or something like that. Converse has no tread. I felt like that was a crazy foot choice, but maybe that's the point. Maybe it's better to have no tread. I don't know.
I don't know. I think there's like climbing shoes.
Well, we wouldn't know what to think about that, but I was shocked to see Converse.
That's wild.
She looks great wearing them, but they're not. Yeah, I gasped. Hunter gets up to the top platform. and yells down to Becky. Becky's still at the lower platform, so Becky has to traverse the final 200 feet. Mm-hmm. Becky once again says, I don't think I could do this. I cannot do this out in the open like this. She says, yes, you absolutely can. Allison, we can see the bolts rattling on this thing. And the wind is howling around this tower.
Yeah, because when you get up, it's windy. It's also the higher up you go.
Exactly. 100%. Yes. It's the whole goddamn thing looks like it's about to fall apart any second. Hunter yells to Becky, just remember, only look up. Becky immediately looks down, which is exactly what I would have done.
I mean, if somebody said that to me, I would have definitely just looked down.
And this shot, I almost passed out. This is an insane, terrifying shot. Becky squeezes her eyes shut and yells to Hunter, what the hell are we doing? Again, a great question to ask.
Great
yesterday.
Question.
Hunter says, stop overthinking. Focus on a nursery rhyme or something to start reciting something. Becky, of course, foolishly starts ringing around the rosy, which ends with, we all fall down.
We all fall down.
They get to a communication disc or dish or like a big antenna dish, right? So it's perpendicular to the pole, but they kind of have to squeeze between the dish and the ladder to get past the dish.
No.
Terrifying. And I would say the dish is about 7 feet tall, so it's gigantic. And I'm screaming, turn back now, because I know you're going to get trapped up here, and I don't want to see it. And then as they go, she goes the last sort of, you know, let's say 50 feet from the dish, last 50 feet, you know, Hunter's encouraging her. She's helping her pull the line because Becky is shaking. Becky is just panicking at this point. Hunter says it's smooth ass sailing to the top.
Also, you would be so exhausted. If you were out of that shape.
No, exactly. This whole movie made me feel like I want to get in better shape. Not that I'm going to end up in this situation, but something even close to it.
Yeah.
If I have to lift my body weight up, I'd like to be able to.
By my arms. I'd like to be able to do it.
Becky says, I really do hate you for this, Hunter. Allison, Hunter grabs the ladder and shakes it laughing and says, does this ladder feel loose to you?
Like jail.
Again, we see it.
Go to jail.
We see a bolt. So each joint has two bolts. We see a joint that is.
Seems like not enough.
Is just a empty space and then a very loose bolt rattling around. And we see when Hunter jolts the ladder, the second bolt falls. So now we know at least one of the joints is just completely loose, right? And Becky hears it clanging against the ladder when it falls below them and says, what was that? Hunter says, just come on, don't worry, come up to the platform. She reaches down, pulls Becky up, and we see another bolt fall, right? So it's two bolts, baby. And this is from just the exposed part of the ladder. But of course, they don't know this yet. They don't know they're trapped. They celebrate. They take photos. Hunter uses her drone to, like, take footage of them. And I have seen these extreme climbers, typically not in America, where people are hanging off of skyscrapers or, like, doing insane.
It's so fucking awful.
Like, parkour off of skyscrapers. Like, terrifying, terrifying shit. Hunter hands Becky the drone controls. Before Becky can say anything, Hunter drops. She's loose. And is dangling by one hand, like, from the platform. And we see the terrible earth below her. But I guess I would click on that if I saw that on YouTube. I would watch it. She is right. That is the content people need.
Right.
And she has Becky swoop the drone around, and I almost died. Hunter pulls herself up. Hunter says to Becky,
so
now it's your turn.
No.
He says no.
Is she trying to kill her?
Well... She's just an idiot. Is sort of what it comes down to is she thinks that she is really genuinely helping Becky get her feedback under her. Her motivations for wanting to do that we'll find out in a minute. But no, she is genuine, and she's a genuine extreme sports maniac. And she's like, I'm like this, so you're like this. And Hunter said, well, you know, the old Becky would have done it. Which, again, is enough to push Becky to do it. We learned about peer pressure. But I was like, don't pressure your friend who is grieving into doing something physically dangerous.
Like, there's times when you should, like, kind of push your friends out of their comfort zones because it is, whatever. And, like, and her being like, let's go on a road trip would have been something to do.
Yes.
Even if it was just like, hey, let's just go do a little easy climb, you and me, just to get back into a thing you loved. Sure.
Yeah.
I get it. This, This is evil.
Yeah, it's suicidal. Becky does it, and Hunter takes a photo of her. And when she pulls Becky up, Becky is genuinely elated. Like, she is thrilled. And so I think this is the confirmation. Hunter's like, I knew this would bring out the side of you that I recognize. And Hunter shows her the photo and says, next time you're ever afraid of anything, I want you to look at these photos and know you have nothing to be afraid of. Like, you're fearless.
Yet.
And she says to Becky, I'm proud of you, and Dan would have been too. And obviously that means a lot to Becky. Allison, and then they safely get down from the tower, they fall in love and get married, and that's the end. Just kidding. No, Becky takes out Dan's ashes and gives, I would say, a terrible little speech where she says, you and I were one, Dan.
But whenever I needed a laugh, you told me one of your shit jokes. Whenever I needed a shoulder to cry on, it was yours.
Which I thought was a very funny way to put that. And now you're gone and I don't feel whole anymore. I miss you so much and I love you. Goodbye, Dan. And she dumps all the bag of cremains, and I thought I was going to blow back in their faces Big Lebowski style, which it would if you and I were doing this. But
yes, of course.
He's taken away by the wind into nature. And Becky looks over to see Hunter crying, like, pretty hard. And Hunter said, sorry, I've been away for so long. I just didn't expect me to hit me like that. I guess I didn't feel real until now. Yeah. Becky tells her, well, let's get the fuck back down to Earth because I've had to pee since we passed the Eiffel Tower. Allison, they clip back in their harnesses. They've been without harnesses this entire time.
That's insane.
Insane.
I can't even, like,
Insanity.
Like, my heart is, like, moving when we like talking
again,
about this movie.
I
think about
the
visuals
from the screen during some of this.
No, it's so bad. I'd rather watch fucking Terrifier 3.
Oh, 100%. Oh, I could watch it all day long. Becky goes to climb down.
You're a sick fuck, Hallie.
So like the 200 feet of external ladder is basically in 10 feet segments, or maybe a little bit less. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, she gets down to the second segment, so like 20 feet down. And as we saw, the bolts are removed. The ladder starts to peel away from the tower, almost like Looney Tunes style. No. And as Becky screams, it tips backward, and then she drops into space. Luckily, she's tethered, but like basically, she's tethered to Hunter, and then the rope is wrapped around the top of the spire.
Uh-huh.
So that's it. It's not like clipped onto metal or anything, though. God knows the metal in this might just disintegrate anyways. And then every section underneath the top section of the 200-foot external ladder tears away from the pole and drops to the ground. And it creates like a domino effect of the external ladder where it knocks all the other segments down.
Right.
So it's 10 feet of ladder and then 190 feet of nothing before the next platform where you can get to the internal ladder. But that's a future Becky and Hunter problem because Becky is just dangling, spinning, slamming into the side of the tower.
No.
Which is, all rusty metal. And we see the ladder pieces all fall to the ground. Hunter starts to wrap the rope around the antenna pole and, like, pull Becky up to leverage her weight up. And she finally almost gets up. Becky's sort of laughing. She says, I almost died there. You know, Hunter says, I wish we'd filmed it. Becky gets her bearing and says, okay. Take two. Allison, they look down. We saw the ladder fall. They didn't realize until this moment. The top of the ladder is there. The rest of the ladder is gone.
Right. 10 feet and then 190 and then...
Then the rest of the... how to traverse 190 feet down just on loose tower pole.
Of no ladder.
Allison, Hunter says, oh no. And they check both their phones. They do not have signal. They are up too high. Allison, at this point, what would you do?
What would you do?
I don't, like, I think I would just jump.
Allison.
Like, I would just be like,
no.
No.
Well, I guess one of us could kill each other. Like, I feel like it's like, I guess I could strangle you if we had fabric. But then one of us is stuck there.
And then what? Right, like, you're still, it's not like, oh, there's only enough oxygen here for one person. I'll figure it. It's like, well, we're both stuck.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to kill someone unless you just want to die and don't want to deal with this. Because my thing is, eventually I'm going to fall asleep and fall off anyways.
Well, that's the thing. Though I don't know if you would ever relax enough to be asleep.
Well, eventually your body will just shut down.
Without, like, water and food.
Oh, yeah.
I would be like, okay, let's try and climb down knowing that it'll kill us.
Well, the problem is, and just to give you a visual, there's no foothold. So basically, like, 10 feet down, and then it's just raw pole. So this is not, there's nothing to clip onto. There's nothing to grab on. There's, even for experienced climbers, it is a featureless, textureless pole until 50 feet down where you get the communication dish. And then below that, it's another 140 feet of nothing. Yeah. So the options are limited. So the answer is maybe just stay there until vultures kill us, because this is a truly no-win situation.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And Becky screams, "We're on a pizza-sized platform in the middle of nowhere!" Which is, it's a little bit bigger than pizza, but it's not big enough for either of them to lie down fully. You know what I mean?
Like, just so, you'd get exhausted just standing.
Yeah, and they could sit down, but, like, they sometimes, like, their feet have to go over the edge. Like, it's not...
No.
This is not a big enough platform to be, like, we could, like, at least stay up here for a couple days. It's horrifying. Al said, unfortunately, Becky... to even say Becky has dropped their bag. The bag has flown off of Becky's body.
Yeah, right.
On top of the communications dish, which is, like, 50 feet down. So closer, but still out of reach. Hunter says, looks... feet. Someone must have heard the ladders collapsing. Again, you're in the middle of the desert. She says, I'm sure someone will see it and call 911 and find our car, because our car is there. And there's a little box at the top, and they find a flare gun for this exact situation. That's good, at least. And so, like, we'll wait until it gets dark, and we'll see if we can use the flare gun. Wait. Unfortunately, Allison, well, it's the middle of the day. Like, they built the day in the middle of the desert.
Right.
So, like,
no,
I don't think anyone's... Yeah. Unfortunately, Allison, they look down and see Becky has a huge gash through her leggings and is bleeding everywhere.
Of course she is.
Which, again, very 47 meters down. Hunter ties a shirt around her leg and then sort of holds Becky off the edge so she can pee, because she's been having to pee this whole time. And again, I think there should have been more peeing and, dare I say, even some pooping, but...
Some pooping.
We simply no pooping in this movie, unfortunately. They try to get comfortable, and Becky asks one more time, do you really think the ladder is... fell in a way that, like, someone will notice or hurt or something. Mm-hmm. And Hunter says, 100%. And then Becky smiles and, like, looks out, and we just see Hunter look over and she's like, I don't think that is all. I don't think anyone's coming. There's nothing and there's no one.
No.
Becky records Dangerous D, who explains they're stuck with no way down. Because, again, we're like, won't this be a funny story eventually?
Won't it?
Becky's sort of acting as a host. She's like, you know, Danger Z said that she did this for the money, but I think she's a like whore. Hunter says, well, it's not like that. Becky says, why don't you explain it? Like, be yourself. Explain what is it? And Hunter says, I guess I did this because of Dan, which kind of surprised Becky. Hunter says, his death made me realize that life is fleeting and we need to take every chance to feel alive. And I don't know. I just wanted to do this kind of thing and do it with you. Becky said, well, that was really great. I'm just like, well, you know, should I kill Danger D? Should I bury the character? She's like, oh, I'll help you bury the body. Allison, fortunately, Hunter still has her binoculars.
Okay.
And they see there's an RV near, not too far from the gate, but it does look abandoned. Mm-hmm. And they've been waiting. At this point, I believe they say it's 4 or 5 hours. So she said if someone heard the falling ladders, they would have just called 911 already. They would have done something.
Though, I don't know. Would you?
If I lived out there and knew what that thing was and I saw that the fall off of it, yeah, I would. Just because I'd be like, oh, that thing's going to fall. It's going to fall on the road or something.
But you wouldn't assume it's because there's people on it.
No.
Like, I'd be like, oh, that thing is falling apart. Somebody's going to have to come deal with that. I don't know if I would think of it as much an emergency as
that's a good point. Like, maybe you'd call someone. But I would call someone eventually if I saw that, like, But yeah.
Yeah, call someone and be like, oh, this
I wouldn't
is happening.
Think, dear God, someone's in peril. Hunter looks at her phone. Again, neither of them have service, but she realizes that she posted the deer carcass or near deer carcass and had service at the base of the tower. So what if they take the rope and lower the phone to see if they get service? Like maybe they just lost service because they are near the top of the antenna. Like maybe just below that, they would be able to have service. They can't tell. So they can't call 911 that way, but Hunter can write a post and hit send. So she writes a post on Instagram, and when she gets service, it'll post her 60,000 followers. Oh, yeah. Help stuck on B67, call 911 with a photo of them. And it's like, if I saw that on social media, I would call 911. I wouldn't know exactly what to tell them. I would just report that. But I would do that. I think that's smart. And again, if you see me post that, I'm already dead. And also they're thinking, okay, it'll also ping. We'll be able to hear it when it sends. So they tie it to the rope with Becky's hair tie and they lower it down. They get to the end of the rope. They don't hear any sending sounds. Hunter says, I got an idea. She lowers herself down to the bottom of the ladder, which is, again, another 10 mm-hmm. feet. She holds herself untethered off the edge of the ladder and tries to drop the rope, you know, to the lowest she possibly can. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. She has to pull herself back up. At this point, to me, the little platform would be covered in diarrhea because I'd be panicking.
Yeah, nonstop, barf everywhere.
However, but now Becky's thinking, well, they had signal at the base of the tower. What if we drop the phone? And it sends then. Butter's like, well, would it just shatter?
Certainly it'll survive a 2,000 foot
drop. Yeah, she's like, well, would it just shatter and hit the ground? And she's like, no, remember the egg drop challenge from school? Did you have to do that?
Yeah.
Did your egg survive?
My egg survived because I wrapped it in sponges.
Well, so that's, mine didn't, but I think to your point, Becky's thinking, well, what if we are able to cushion it? And we put it on your shoe. And it is something lightweight. So, like, hypothetically, it could survive depending on how it landed. Right. Alternately, it could just fly out of the shoe and just explode on the ground, right?
Yeah. It could hit, like, one of the metal rungs of, like, the internal ladder and...
Exactly. Then you're still out of luck. But they're still out of luck anyways. So
right.
They take Hunter's sock and shoe and her... She takes her push-up bra to sort of give it extra cushion. They drop the shoe. But the thing is, they have no idea if it lands safely. So there's really no, they just kind of have to wait more.
That's a fingers crossed situation.
Allison, Becky turns and looks at Hunter's foot and ankle, which are now bare, and tattooed on Hunter's bare ankle are the numbers 143. Mm. But before she could say anything, Hunter spots a guy and his dog at the base of the tower. Of course, now that we're at the base with the guy and the dog, we see the phone is smashed. The dog's sort of sniffing it. The phone is cached. The guy's on the phone and is not really paying attention to what's going on. So Becky throws down both of his shoes and like almost get his attention, but he's sort of distracted on the phone. And he hears something and he turns and he looks, but he just sees the shoe. And I'm thinking, throw the other shoe, throw Hunter's other shoe, but they don't. Becky grabs the flare, but Hunter stops her. It's sunset and the glare of the sun is so bright. She's like, he's not going to be able to see it. We're going to waste it. Let's just wait. And now they're saying there's another guy. This guy is part of the RV situation. There's another guy at the RV. They're setting up a grill. Okay, they're going to be there for the night. We'll wait till it's dusk, make sure it's dark enough. Then we'll set the flare so at least they'll see it, which I thought was smart because I would have immediately fired it. We'd be fucked. Hunter looks through the binoculars at the RV and says, oh, damn. Becky says, what? He says, they're making ribs. And it looks like they have ice cold beers. And all of a sudden, night falls. And Becky looks at the wedding video she has of Dan on her phone. Hunter continues to watch these two guys. And she's like, I definitely think these guys are a couple. I don't know, some sort of dirty weekend away. God, that makes me jealous. Like, she's sort of like making stories about their life. In the video from her wedding, Becky, for the first time, seemingly noticed that Hunter is watching her and Dan dancing with a look of perhaps pained longing on her face. And again, when I remake this movie, it will be Hunter staying at Becky because she's in love with her.
Yes.
She will confess her feelings.
And this brings them together and they survive because the cops come and everybody gets saved.
And they both get married and they live to les out another day. But unfortunately, that is not, for whatever reason, the plot of this film. Finally, the sun sets. Hunter says, fire the flare gun. They fire it, it misfires. Becky fires again and the men see the flare. And then we see the men get their binoculars out and they see the women up there and Hunter wisely turns on her phone light or flashlight and is waving it. The men see them, Allison. the men get into the RV and drive the gate. And so the women can see these guys. They're like, oh my God, they see us. They're coming. And they're using Hunter's binoculars. And the RV stops near their car because the gate is padlocked.
Yeah.
And the men get out with a crowbar. And Hunter's like, wow, they're probably going to open the gate with that crowbar. Literally as they watch, the guys smash her driver's side window and steal her car.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because it's like the most devastating moment.
Right. It's like, oh my God, this is the, it worked. We did it. We did it. And it's like, no, I'm just stealing your car, bitch.
And also what pieces of shit that these guys saw them up there was like, ah, the perfect opportunity to steal these bitches' car. Again, needless to say, following that event, the mood is grim on Diarrhea Pizza Platform for the evening. Night falls, and also the red light at the top of the tower blinks all night. Like, all night.
Yeah.
Oh, Hunter almost falls asleep and falls off, so they have to sort of take turns trying to stay awake. But they're both exhausted.
Right.
And Hunter says, new rule, if someone falls off the tower, they take the photo, call 911 on the way down. And okay. She says, and also maybe post that photo I made, because I'd be good to content. I don't want to go to waste. They then notice that Becky's leg is bleeding through her pants because she cut it when she slammed into the pole earlier. Yeah. And it started to look a little bad and maybe started to smell a little bit. Ooh. Becky finally takes a look at Hunter's tattoo. And Hunter's like, what's wrong? Becky says, Dan could never say the words, I love you. Do not marry someone.
If they can't say I love you to
right.
you.
Right. And you know, I understand it's different culturally. Like maybe, but I'm saying like whatever that version of I love you is that it, you want, that you is acceptable to you. He would say 1-4-3. The idea that you could say 1-4-3 and not say I love you is like skirting around the fact that you're not in love with the person. Don't marry them then. Because this woman obviously loved him. And he's like, oh, I can't say it, but I can see the numbers. Becky says,
how many letters are each word? It's so stupid.
Becky says, how long? Hunter says, it was 4 months. It was a huge mistake. I'm so sorry. And I cut it off when you asked me to be your bridesmaid. So it was like pretty recently. So
they were engaged.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, oh, when you first got together, I was fucking him and I stopped. You know?
Yeah.
No, it was right up until the wedding, pretty much. Becky said, who made the first move? Obviously, it was Dan. He's like, we were drunk and it was a mistake and I'm so sorry. And Becky says, no, a mistake is a one-night stand. And that I can fucking forgive you about. You did it for 4 months, bitch, by my back?
Yeah.
Hunter starts crying and he's like,
I tried so hard not to, but I fell for him. I mean, he listened to me. He was just different than every other douchebag that I'd ever dated, and I had never felt that way before.
Who gives a shit?
I agree. But also, like, that's pathetic. That, like, this guy was nice to you. So it's like, we don't get her backstory, but I'm like, well, that doesn't seem... Whatever you're dealing with, it's probably pretty grim. And then you asked for your bridesmaid, and I cut it off with them. So Dan is by far the bigger piece of shit, for sure.
For sure.
And she says, I loved him, but I loved you more, so I ended it. And then he died, and I didn't have the strength to tell you, so I ran away, and you hate me, and I don't blame you, and now we're stuck on this tower, and it's all my fault. I'm so sorry. And we see Becky take off her ring, and she puts it on the chain with her husband, but takes it off her hand. Her phone alarm goes off, and she says, I said that when we dropped the phone yesterday. It's been 24 hours. So we have to accept either your fans don't care or your phone is more likely in 1,000 pieces. And then they're trying to be like, okay, so how long do we die until we die of thirst? Because the bag has our water in it and the drone in it. And we could use the drone to like fly to the hotel with like a fucking note. And Hunter says, I think I could do it. Peggy says, that's insane. You're not doing that. She says, I think when I lowered the phone down, I was almost close enough to get on the communications desk. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
She lowers herself down. She's still like 10 feet too high. And she says, I'm going to drop myself lower. So she unclips herself off the rope. Becky's watching her from the upper platform, terrified. She says, swing over to the dish and drop onto it.
No. No.
And she opens the bag. She gets to have a sip. And then Becky says, wait, how are you going to get back to the rope? And they both look at her like, oh, no. Because the rope is at least, I would say, like 8 feet. And then, like, it keeps drifting to the side. So it's not eight feet straight up.
Right,
yeah,
it's not stable. Right.
Luckily, Hunter has a selfie stick and takes it out of the bag, hooks the bag on, and is able to, like, hook the bag onto the onto the end of the rope because there's, like, a little loop. So the bag's on the rope. Allison, she is going to have to jump and grab the rope. And
it's so awful. It's so
awful.
And
also, in reality, ain't no way. Even the best person in the world, there's like one little breeze comes along and it moves the rope 1 inch. You're hurling.
And you're
to your
not
death.
Jumping off of like a great stable ground. You're on like a rickety curved satellite thing. Like,
Because she's on the top of it. She's not even like in the safety of the inside of the satellite dish. Right. She's on the back of it. So it's rounded. So, but she really doesn't have any other options. So again, I appreciate her joie de vivre. She leaps, she jumps, and she grabs the rope. And so Hunter is sort of, is pulling herself up the rope. At the same time, Becky's pulling her up. Again, this made me want to get into shape. Hunter gets almost to the top of the platform, and then her hand slips and she falls. Again, she's not clipped in. Luckily, we get this moment of Becky seeing the rope tighten from the top of the platform, and then she looks over. Thank God, Hunter was able to grab the rope. However, she shredded her hands on the way down, obviously, because she grabbed the rope and her hands are ripped to pieces. So she can't climb up. She says, I need you to pull me up. And Becky said, I'm so sorry. I thought you died. And Hunter says, I'm not going anywhere. Also, they brought no food, which is insane.
And like, you thought it was going to be all morning. I would have had at least like a couple protein bars, an apple, an orange.
Exactly. However, fortunately, Becky's able to pull her up. They have survived, and Becky can finally get a sip of water. They find, they don't have a pen. Please put a pen in your bag hearing this.
Always have a pen and a piece of paper.
They find Hunter's eyeliner, and they write the same message that they put on an Instagram post, which didn't send. Help, stuck on top of B67, call 911. Allison, they put the note on the drone, and they send it towards the hotel because the closest structure, it's the only place around there. Unfortunately, it's at least a mile away, and they get a low battery alert. Before it's barely at the gate. So their options are call it back, see if we can make it, or call it back and try to charge it.
Right.
And it's about to die anyways. They say call it back. It almost dies. It basically dies and then starts to fall, and Becky has to reach out and snatch it out of the air before it drops to the ground.
No. Oh, my God.
They have a charger, but no power, no outlet. And Hunter says, maybe if we shut it off and maybe if we let it rest, you know, it'll have enough juice. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make
any
sense. And
Becky says, are we going to die? Allison, I ask you now this, this moment in the film, who will survive?
Who will survive?
I want Becky to live just to, like, beat all, like, you know, to be a survivor and to process all of her shit. But I do think they're both going to die.
Yeah, watch this. I mean, in real life, they certainly would die. They'd already be dead. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Does the movie believe enough in the human spirit, the indomitable human spirit, to allow her to survive? Well, we're about to find out.
I don't think both will survive.
I think
you're
right. That would be simply too kind. Too kind to this film.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Night falls, Allison, and the dead of night, Becky awakens to find herself alone on the platform. And if that wasn't hard enough, the vultures have started to circle, presumably because they could smell her rotting-ass leg. And she tries to use her phone to see, but they're immediately on her. Allison, she turns to hear a wet eating sound. And she turns to see a vulture eating Hunter's corpse next to her. She gasps awake. They're both still there. That was a dream.
Okay.
And Becky says, I realized in my horrifying nightmare how we charged the drone, your dumb life hack. Becky is going to climb the 30 feet up to the light bulb at the top of the tower, which Hunter warns her is probably going to be extremely hot because it's been on forever. Unscrew it and try to use the charger and try to charge it against the socket. But there's no other options.
Okay. I mean, it's
They're also both horribly sunburned at this point, like blistering red sunburns.
Yes. You would be in the desert with not a lick of shade.
And no hat. Put a hat in your bag. Put a pen in your bag and a hat in your bag.
Put a hat in your bag.
Becky starts to climb, and Hunter's encouraging her. She's like, that's right. this is just like pole dancing, you know, it sort of, because she has to like shimmy up the like raw pole. She's like, and he starts singing, yeah. She's my cherry pie, my cold drink of water, what a sweet surprise. She gets to the top. She's able to unscrew the light bulb, which is extremely hot.
Of
the
course.
Prongs are not long enough to get inside the socket. And Hunter says, you need something small and metal, like a screw. She's like, there's no screw. She's like, it's got to be small and metal. It's got to be something to, maybe it represents your journey. You know, how far you've come. You know, your desire to live. Is there something like that? Maybe it's circular. Oh, your yeah. wedding ring.
Your also, wedding
ring. She takes
ring.
Her the two rings. She jams it in there. It works. But she's just staying up there holding onto the pole with just her arm strength.
The whole
while this
time.
Thing charges. Because it doesn't charge right away. I don't know how drones charge, but it's taking a long time.
Yeah.
Again, she does it. Even has a leg wound, is starting to smell. Vultures are starting to circle the tower, Allison.
Oh, my God.
But she's doing it. She gets up to 3 bars. The vultures attack her because they smell that sweet, sweet leg wound. Being yeah. a vulture must be insane.
God flash.
She drops the bag, but she still has the drone and the charger. And luckily, okay. the water, I believe, is still on the lower platform. Hunter says, you got this. And finally, the drone gets to 4 bars. She comes back down. And Peggy says, why didn't you catch the bag? And Hunter's like, I don't know, bitch. Like, it wasn't in the cards, you know. Peggy says, we got to fly the drone when the hotel is busiest. Checkout is at 10 a.m., which is in a couple hours. So let's do it then, because it's really early morning.
Yeah.
And she looks up. She looks at the wedding photos again. But instead of looking at Dan and her and Hunter, she's looking at her dad. Because obviously now she feels really bad. She says, you know, my dad yeah. was right about Dan. And I was so horrible to him about it. And if there's anyone I could text, it would be him to say, I'm so sorry. Becky is not doing well, obviously, because the leg yeah. wound. But also, they've been up here, I mean, 2 days at this point.
Yeah. They're dehydrated. They're starving.
They haven't eaten anything. Hunter says, okay, you got to stay awake. Tell me something you and your dad used to do together. She's like, oh, we'd watch WWE wrestling. She's like, okay, great. Watch some of your favorite wrestlers. Or who are some of your favorite wrestlers as a kid? Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. What was that guy? And Hunter goes, oh, Mankind. Becky's like, oh, I thought you didn't watch that. She's like, I didn't. Keep going. She goes, oh, Dave Bautista, which I like that he was in the director's yes. other oh, film. Allison, they send the drone out. Becky's piloting. The battery is holding. It is making its way across the desert.
Oh, my God.
We have a gasp of hope. It is almost at the hotel. The drone zooms across the road and right in front of the hotel and is smashed to pieces by a passing semi-truck. And they look through the binoculars and the semi-driver gets out. But also he's like, okay, some piece of shit drone, like some dumbass is flying around.
Right, yeah.
There's something nothing you can glean from it. And don't worry, Allison, as if things weren't bad enough, a storm starts to roll in. And Becky says to Hunter, I can't survive another night out here.
No, you can't.
And Hunter's like, don't talk like that. You just can't go to sleep. The vultures can smell your leg. They're waiting for you to collapse so they can attack you. You need to eat something. Survival of the fittest. Becky says, okay. The only other option I can think of is let's drop the other phone. We'll drop my phone. Give me your other shoe because it's the only shoe left. We'll just try it. And Hunter says, I can't. My shoe's not here. And Becky looks. She's like, I can see the shoe on your foot. And Hunter has to break it to her.
Yes. But I'm down there. Remember?
Of course, Becky looks, and we see Hunter's corpse lying on the communication dish with a massive head wound. And Hunter says, remember when I fell, I didn't catch the rope. My hands didn't get cut up. I hit the dish and I bled out. And we see Becky look over and it's finally seeing the body and sobbing. And she's like, you pulled the bag up, and I guess you were just too afraid to realize you were up here alone. But she's still talking to her.
Yeah.
And Becky looks over the edge and sees the vultures descend onto Hunter and start eating her entrails, like ripping open her abdomen, as lightning and thunder start to oh approach as the storm descends. And finally, Becky fully breaks down sobbing. Also, again, blistering sunburn.
Of course.
The storm comes in. Becky is clinging, like wrapped around the pole.
Oh,
the entire tower is shaking in the wind, terrifying.
Oh,
she's looking at her dad's photo on her phone to try to like keep herself from dying. And she records a message for her father that hopefully he'll see one day. She's like, I want you to know I found my fight again. I want to live. I want to go home, but I'm not going to make it. So by the time you see this, I'll be gone. And I want you to know I love you. Meanwhile, we see her dad is calling her phone, panicked, doesn't even know she went on this trip.
Yeah.
Is going to her apartment, texting her, like, probably afraid that she has killed herself. And it's like, please just let me know what is going on in the morning. Becky is still alive. But what's a girl to do, right? She's dozed off in a sitting position long enough for a vulture to land and start pecking at her leg wound.
No.
But Allison, she's not asleep. She opens her eyes and grabs the vulture and starts fighting it because she's going to eat that fucking vulture.
Oh, God, you know they have every disease.
And you see its claw go into her leg wound, and she starts slamming its head over and over again into the platform, vulture blood everywhere, until finally she kills it. And we hear Hunter in voiceover say, "You need to eat something. It's survival of the fittest out here."
A raw vulture?
And I'm sure it tasted just as good as it sounds. But now that she has some energy, she's going to take a Hail Mary pass, because what else is she going to fucking do? She's going to get down to the communications towel, a dish, and get Hunter's other shoe and drop the phone. Because she's like, I don't have any other option. I know if I'll drop it loose, it'll explode. At least I'll have some other cushioning. Because after that, she's just dead. And they still did. They play this like thrilling adventure movie. So that's when I'm like, okay, she's going to live. Because if this was horror, it still would, maybe she could die too. But it's like she has become our final girl. She has stepped into her own. She has accepted that she wants to live. And she sort of like descends on the rope, has to do the same thing where she leaps off the rope, lands on the dish, and comes face to face with the vulture. But fortunately, this one flies away. And she takes Hunter's cold dead hand, says, "I love you." And she texts her dad. She sends the text. Her dad, "Help, stuck on B67 tower. Call 911. She puts it in Hunter's shoe. But then she tells Hunter, "I'm so sorry, but I have to make sure this gets down intact. Allison," she takes a shoe with the phone inside and shoves it into Hunter's open, disemboweled abdomen and pushes her body off the tower. And as soon as she does, we see the communications dish start to shear away from the pole, presumably from the weight of both their bodies. And she screams.
Yeah, because it's not built for, like, people standing on it.
We see her dad. Night has fallen. We see her dad driving past the diner, past the drone. We see a helicopter headed to the tower. And when he arrives, it's a bunch of ambulance and police. And he parks and runs out and sees a body covered with a sheet on the ground. Of course, he's screaming, "No, no."
Yeah.
From behind him, his daughter runs to him from the ambulance and they hug. He's like, "I thought that was you." She's like, "I know." It's like, "I just want you to be okay." And she's like, "I am. I am, you know." And as for the vultures family, we don't get to see them. But finally, they hug and they're being led away from the scene. And we hear Hunter's voice in voiceover explaining, "Life is short. Life is fleeting. So you have to use every moment." The fall. Allison, what are some fatal...
No.
What is even one fatal mistake that was made in the movie Fall?
Mistakes.
Climbing that thing.
Yeah.
Climbing at all.
I mean, just no other way around it. The whole goddamn thing was a mistake.
And also, like, again, like, tell people that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Have someone in case of emergency who's like, "All right, if I don't hear from them in 6 hours, like,
yeah,
I'm going to go check it out and see what's going on." Like, it's like, because that, if they got stranded up there and somebody knew within an hour or two.
Yeah.
They would have
exactly.
Been
yeah, and I think exactly. Even if you had said something at the like motel or to that waitress,
yeah.
Because I was like, "Oh, did they say they were climbing it to her?" But because they mentioned the tower, but because even that, I was like, "Oh, maybe something like that." Tell as many people as possible. Tell your father, who's obviously terrified that you're going to hurt yourself. Like, please, for God's sakes. Because the thing is, like, you might be like, "Oh, well, we're doing it together." But if you both become, you know, either get trapped or become incapacitated. It doesn't matter if you're with somebody else.
Yeah.
So I think that is an important lesson. Tell everyone. Give other people estimates of where you're coming back.
Yes.
It's sort of like 127 hours, too, where it's like, in order to not have that happen, at least tell a couple other people the general timeline of when you're doing something extremely dangerous.
Yes.
So I think, the whole goddamn thing, the first movie where the whole entire thing, I think, is...
Yes. From start to finish, fatal mistakes.
So I think fundamentally, we both accept that this never would have happened to us.
No, only if somebody kidnapped me and dragged me to the top of the tower am I getting to the top of a tower.
Yeah. And then finally, where would you place this movie on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale?
I think from what a reaction just seeing the visuals of this movie gave me when I watched the trailer, like and my just deep fear of heights, I think for me this is a 10.
I'm going to give this a 9. Yeah. I think I'm going to, because I agree. This is, and again, we talk about this is specifically how scary the movie is.
Yes.
I thought it was genuinely terrifying.
Terrifying.
And to me, that is always indicated when I have to say this is, that I'm in it so much that it becomes real to me.
Yes.
That that's all I want from a horror movie, and that is what this movie gave me, baby.
Yeah. Terrifying. It really is just like, you know, the visuals of them being up there and then, like, being like, there is nothing you can do. And, like, every time they try and do something, it proves, yes, like, yeah, that's not going to help. That there isn't – you are – this is it. And, like, the ways that you could die are also all brutal because you're either
horrific,
falling while you're, you know, 2,000 feet or, like, starving or being dehydrated, yes, or, like, a vulture eating you to death.
Yeah, torn apart by vultures, right? It's just like there's no – other way out. Where I guess, like, in some level, again, not that I don't mean to be constantly referring to 47 meters down, but it did seem like if you were to pass out, you would just die. And, like, you're not going to pass out and then wake up falling out of the ocean. You know, like, this might be like, you'd pass out, you roll off the platform, guess what? You wake up to die, right?
Yes.
Whereas, like, at least if you drown, it's like, well, that's it. At least that's you're there. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
Everyone, thank you so much for, I don't know how cozy this was, but it sure was a fall movie. We all agree on that. we wanted to tell you, we had a new development, and we just wanted to flag that we have, some new options on Patreon.
Yes.
For you. And that option is, to buy individual, either regular episodes or individual live shows.
Yes.
If you're not someone who, let's say, for example, like, oh, you know, from now between the end of now and the end of the year, maybe I can't spring for the top tier,
yeah,
but I'd really like to listen to this Terrifier movie, 3 when we do it.
Or I missed this live show and I wasn't around for the window. You can now purchase a live show after the fact for $12 on its own. Or you can purchase any individual episode that's up on Patreon only for $6. So it's like renting a movie.
Yeah, so we hope that it is helpful to you or at least occasionally useful to those of you who might not, you know, be able to subscribe every month.
Yeah.
And for those of you who do, we really appreciate you. And again, we're going to do this until the sun burns out.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of content for anyone. If you're just a new listener, take a look at our Patreon. And if you would like to try out some Lucy's, please give it a go.
Yeah.
And until next time, please. Keep it cozy.
Keep it cozy.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Ruin Podcast.
Or join us at patreon.com/ruinpodcast for exclusive episodes and video content.
Ruin is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, Dan Powell, and Houston Snyder.
Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa and Olivia Posner.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.